I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principles. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer, and baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We got a lot to get into in today's show. We are going to put sort of our own official close on the Chiefs 2025-2026 season. Nate Taylor is going to be in studio coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, so we'll get a chance to ask him about Rashee Rice. What does he think is the offseason plan? Who could the Chiefs' potential next offensive coordinator be? Certainly a lot of things to talk to Nate Taylor about. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we're going to talk college football with my guy Joe DeLeon. He is the co-host of one of the more popular college football podcasts that are out there. He's going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes. We got a lot of college football to talk about. We had another fantastic college football playoff game. Trinidad Chambliss, who looks like he could be a first-round pick, but he actually wants to go back to Ole Miss. Right now he has an agreement that would pay him $5 million to go back to Ole Miss, but the NCAA says that he has run out of eligibility, so he is now suing the NCAA. So a lot to get into in today's show. We got NFL playoffs to talk about. We got a very busy show. Before we get to any of that, I want to remind you guys of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I would greatly appreciate it. And number three, and most importantly, I need you to remember that the open of the show each day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So right now, as we are in the middle of a stretch of five consecutive days with playoff games, whether it's in college or the pros, I would encourage you, go see our friends over at The Other Place. Go stop by, get yourself something to drink, grab something to eat. You got televisions everywhere. They got the sound on for the games, great specials. If you are looking for a place to settle down and watch the playoffs over the next 4 days, you cannot do better than our friends over at The Other Place. So a lot of things to talk about in today's show. So we have a college football playoff game today. We have two NFL playoff games on Saturday, 3 on Sunday and 1 on Monday. It is funny because we have spent all season sort of discussing the parity that exists this year in the National Football League. Now, I don't know who you would consider to be the favorite heading into the AFC playoffs. I know that Denver is the one seed, but I don't believe in the Denver Broncos, and it doesn't sound like a lot of you believe in the Denver Broncos. I like the New England Patriots, but you can convince me that Jacksonville could go on a run. Houston seems pretty viable. We'll talk about Buffalo more here coming up in just a little bit. Like, there are a lot of possible options in the AFC playoffs. Now, in the NFC, I think it's a little bit different. I think it is clear going into the NFC playoffs who the favorites are. And the favorites are the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I'm not the biggest believer in their quarterback, but they are a team in either conference that has the fewest amount of holes, the fewest amount of red flags and issues that you could find with that team. That is a team that gets good quarterback play. I don't know if they get great quarterback play, but they can run the football effectively. They've got the best offensive player in 2025 on their team in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. This is a team that is as physical defensively as anybody, a team that's well coached. They get the additional week. They get the home games. It is going to be very, very difficult to eliminate Seattle from the playoffs. So, Rob, there's two things that I want to talk to you about as we get things going today. Let's start with the first thing that we have and going through these matchups. And we got time to individually go through these games. I don't know if we have ever entered a playoff, really at any point, in which you could make a case that any team could win this weekend. Now, I know that very few people are picking the Carolina Panthers to win their matchup against the Rams, and that the Rams are a very popular Super Bowl pick. But I don't know how you can be surprised if the Rams lose to Carolina, given the fact that the Rams lost to Carolina during the regular season. Now, I am not predicting it, but we have seen that 8-8 team, that 8-9 team win the first round of the playoffs. That's how Tim Tebow beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's how Marshawn Lynch won his playoff game against the New Orleans Saints with the beast mode run. We have seen those 8-8 shouldn't be in the playoffs, shouldn't have won their division, shouldn't be at home teams. We have seen those teams win this game before. Carolina is 5-3 at home. You never know what version of Bryce Young you're going to get. You never know what version of that defense you're going to get. Cam Newton is coming back for the first time since he left the Carolina Panthers. I think it's going to be high. I think it's going to be emotional. I think it's going to be all of those things. I could absolutely see the Rams going from the West Coast to the East Coast, going on the road, and that's the big upset from the weekend. We then got the night game between the Packers and the Bears. I mean, that's a coin flip kind of game. I think the Packers outplayed the Bears the two times they've played each other. I know that it's a 1-1 split, but if you remember how the last game ended, the Packers had a pretty secure lead. They missed the onside kick where Romeo Doubs loses the ball. The Bears recover the onside kick. They score the touchdown. They win the game in overtime, and you're sitting there, and you're confused at what happened. So either one of those teams, it's a divisional game. It's a playoff game. But it's a divisional game. Two teams that really know each other. Green Bay, even though they're the 9-7 seed, they're the favorite in this matchup. So it absolutely can go either way. Then you got the matchups coming up on Sunday. You got Bills and Jaguars, Eagles and Niners, Chargers and Patriots. We can talk more about the Monday game on Monday because we got time to get there. Let's just focus in on the weekend. But right now, you are at a place in which you could argue for every team figuring out a way to win this week in the National Football League and advancing. That doesn't mean that I think that team can win the Super Bowl, but I think every team that is in this year's playoffs, they are in a position where they could win one game to advance to the divisional round of the playoffs. It's just been that kind of season. We've also talked a lot about pressure, I think, in all of this, and who has the pressure and who is the pressure on in the postseason. And I was watching this video on First Take, and they were going through the top five players who have the most amount of pressure heading into the playoffs. And I was watching this clip, as I was watching this video, I was thinking to myself, this is just a two-minute segment. There's one and only one player only who is heading into this NFL playoffs with any amount of pressure on him, and it's Josh Allen. Now, you might could argue that Matthew Stafford, this is his last chance to win a championship, and I'll listen. But Matthew Stafford already has a championship. His career is not empty if they don't win a second championship. Bo Nix early on in his career, Drake May early on in his career. I know that things have gone very up and down for Jalen Hurts, but he's already won a championship. He's secure in that way. Josh Allen doesn't have a championship. He doesn't have a Super Bowl appearance. Josh Allen is the only player that has the true pressure in the way that we would define it, separate from just a single elimination tournament, entering this playoffs. I saw someone post this, and this was very interesting about Josh Allen. The tweet was, just a friendly reminder of who Josh Allen has beaten in the playoffs. A 40-year-old Phillip Rivers, Tyler Huntley, Mac Jones, Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson, Bo Nix, and Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen has the highest number of postseason wins to have never gone to a Super Bowl. He has also never won a road playoff game. He has that coming up on Sunday afternoon on the road against Jacksonville. I know we got time to give you guys my picks and my predictions. I think Jacksonville is a better team than Buffalo. I think that Jacksonville is winning on Sunday, and I think they are advancing to the divisional round of the postseason. I think that Jacksonville can do more things than I think that Buffalo can do. We've talked a lot about this heading into the postseason, the pressure that is on Josh Allen because there's no Patrick Mahomes, there's no Joe Burrow, there's no Lamar Jackson, and that is absolutely true. But man, Josh Allen doesn't have a lot of these kinds of wins on his resume. That's not to say he can't win this game, but he just doesn't have a lot of these resumes. I saw a stat that Josh Allen is 5-1 in the wild card round, which is really interesting because he's 7-6 overall in the postseason. Josh Allen has done a really good job so far in his career of beating the quarterbacks he is supposed to beat in the playoffs, and he has basically lost to everyone that you would put ahead of him. I think Burrow is a better quarterback than he is when he's healthy. Burrow has beaten him. Patrick Mahomes, we don't got to go through that storyline again. We know it very well, but this is a really interesting stretch for the Buffalo Bills, a really interesting stretch for Josh Allen as an individual, and are they going to advance in the postseason? But I'm excited to get this thing going. We've been talking about this postseason for the last month or so, and now we are finally here. You can make a case for every team in the first round of the playoffs to win at least one game. Now, in the second round, I think that's where you stub your toe. And that's where if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you win this first round, you are not winning the first and the second round. If you're one of these teams that pulls off the upset, if you're the Chargers, I think eventually you just kind of run out of gas. But I think this is going to be your guess is just as good as mine, really exciting first round of the NFL playoffs, and I'm excited to get to it. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk a little bit about college football. Joe DeLeon of the Ruffino and Joe Show is going to join us. And we had another instant classic in the college football playoff. We'll get to it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for K-State Athletics. 96.5, The Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
I want to go back just a little bit. We were talking about this. So Trinidad Chambliss, who is the quarterback for Ole Miss, he has technically already played 5 years of college football. One of those years he didn't play. He had his tonsils removed or something like that. So he has filed an appeal with the NCAA to play an additional season of college football. The NCAA has denied his request. Now, that doesn't mean that he is not going to play at Ole Miss. We have seen pretty consistently, I would say, over the last 2 years or so, just because the NCAA says so doesn't mean the court says so. So if he is going to file an injunction and really pursue this thing to the fullest, I believe that Trinidad Chambliss is going to play next year at Ole Miss. Someone then sent in this text message, CDOT, why do you think he would go back to Ole Miss if he's projected to be a first or a second round pick? Now, I think this part is very important when talking about sort of how high guys are going to go. If you were telling me that Trinidad Chambliss is going to make $5 million next year to play quarterback at Ole Miss, he is going to make more money playing quarterback at Ole Miss than he would playing for the Minnesota Vikings. If that's the kind of money that we now know are being given out, like, it's not even speculative when we were talking anymore about quarterbacks or how much we think they're worth. We're seeing these guys' deals now. Brandon Sorsby, the kid that was at Cincinnati that just transferred to Texas Tech, LSU released the offer they gave him. We saw the legal document they wanted him to sign. It was $3.5 million. That's how much we're talking about with these guys. So if you were telling me that Trinidad Chambliss has already agreed to make $5 million next season playing at Ole Miss, he will make more money than J.J. McCarthy is going to make to play for the Minnesota Vikings. So that's number one. The money now, you don't got to run to the NFL. Hey, if you're happy in college football, then stay in college football. Like, I actually think Dante Moore is going to stay at Oregon. Trinidad Chambliss wants to go back to school. I also think something that's really, really important that I don't know if we talk enough about when it comes to quarterback prospects, man, usually the longer you stay in there, the better for everybody. You kind of got to get 2, maybe 3 years of actual game experience. Most of the guys that flame out and really bust are guys that didn't play a whole lot of college football. Anthony Richardson, Trey Lance, guys that have just that one season as a starter, everything is great, and then they just go chase the money, and I get it. But now with NIL, I don't think you have to make that decision anymore. Let me stay in college. I love it here. I'm making as much money as the pros are making. Let me get as much game reps as humanly possible, and I'll still be a first-round pick. Who's the guy that was hurt as a quarterback by continuing to play college football? If that's the case, that guy just wasn't very good from the very beginning, and that secret was eventually going to be found out. If Chambliss came to me, I would tell him to stay. I would say, stay at Ole Miss. Stay at Ole Miss. You got a chance to go back to the playoff next year. Kawhan Lacy is coming back. Your head coach is coming back. Not the one that went to LSU, not Lane Kiffin, but Pete Golding. So you got a lot of continuity. You're the man there. People love you. You're going to make $5 million. You're in an AT&T commercial right now. There's just no rush for you to go chase the money anymore when it comes to the NFL, which ultimately I think is going to be better for us as fans and better for NFL teams because you have more tape to evaluate before you start to see these guys.
So I think there's two things at play here. On the surface, I agree with you. I don't think staying in school for quarterbacks, specific to quarterbacks, is all that bad. A year ago, we were talking about Arch being a year away from being the hot name prospect. Arch is going to stay in school. Now, part of that's his play, but he's going to come back next year. I don't think staying in the crock pot and cooking for another year in college is a bad deal for quarterbacks. But for Trinidad Chambliss specifically, I think it's time to go pro. You want to know why? We don't need any more sixth-year players in college. We don't. You played at Ferris State. You got a medical redshirt and another redshirt. We don't need 60-year college players anymore. We should be churning out. We're now clear of the COVID year. I don't want guys who are 25, 26, 27 in college anymore. That's
I don't
not
want
good
those guys
sport.
In college football either, but I think you and I agree on that point. I guess my point with Chambliss is then the NCAA needs to come up with more enforceable rules, and the thing now is – almost like NIL, almost like the transfer portal, they have let somebody else define the rules. This is exactly how Diego Pavia got another year. This is literally how Diego Pavia got another season. Diego Pavia played JUCO football, then ran out of eligibility. He filed an injunction with the court that said, "You not allowing me to play college football is hurting my earning potential." They let him play. I think that we're about to find the exact same thing. This is one of the things that I guess, I don't know if it's a strong argument, but text line, it's risk versus reward. Yeah, $5 million for 1 year at Ole Miss versus what? A $40 million guaranteed rookie deal over the next 4 or 5 years in the NFL. Well, it's not that, I mean, unless you're the number one overall pick. J.J. McCarthy signed a four-year $21.8 million deal. And it's not like you can't take the Ole Miss money and take the money next year. It's not like you can't have both of those things, right? So I don't want to paint this like if Chambliss decides to go back to Ole Miss, he now is ineligible for the NFL in a year. You can take the $5 million this year from Ole Miss, go ball out this season, put together a really good year, and then next year be the ninth overall pick in the NFL draft. Like Dante Moore this season, I think has a chance to be the number two overall pick. If he goes back to Oregon, we think he goes in the sixth round next year. No, he's still a first round draft pick quarterback next year. So I don't want to paint it like it's a red or blue pill. And if you take one, you are now eliminated from the other, because that's not factual. That's not real life. And that's not how this works.
I think sometimes we forget the age. Like I looked this up a minute ago just to have the conversation because using Dante Moore as our jumping off point. Do you know how old Dante Moore is right now? He's 20 years old. If he stayed in college for another year, which I don't know if he will or won't, he's going to be the second quarterback taken, which is a very good life if he chooses to take that route, or he'll go back to Oregon and will have a very good life as well. But at 20 years old, staying in college and then entering the draft at 21 is not all that bad. It's not like he's on the text line used Brandon Whedon as an example. It's not like he's Brandon Whedon, where he's 28 years old in the draft. Or even Bo Nix. We got our jokes off about Bo Nix, who was 24, 25.
Whedon was also
draft.
Different. To me, Whedon's in a different
he's
category
a
because
outlier.
Whedon went to go play baseball and
he's
then he
Chris
went to go
Winkie.
Play college football,
yeah.
Which to me puts you in a very different situation than you started at 19 playing college football, and in some ways you have manipulated the clock to still be playing college football 7 years later, like Carson Beck.
I 100% agree. My point is, staying in college for next year, making money now, and still getting that transcendent money, and you are 21 years old, the NFL is not going to look at Dante Moore different. Like, I think there was a time where we felt like if a player stays in college, the NFL might look differently at them. Like, oh, now they're another year older, you know, wear and tear in the body, so on and so forth. Nowadays, with prep schools and all this stuff, kids are getting to college sports younger and younger, which means they're eligible for the draft younger and younger. So staying an extra year and being a 21-year-old in the NFL versus a 20-year-old is not that bad. Like Malachi Toney is the youngest guy on the field. He's got another 2 years of seasoning. If he stayed for three, he'll be 21 when he enters the draft. That's not a bad life to live as a 21-year-old.
No, for sure. And I guess my point here is someone else texted in, CDOT, but top 10 draft picks are guaranteed $40, $50 million over their lifetime deal. That's $10 million a year, which last time I checked is more than $5 million a year to stay at Ole Miss. Again, you can go back to Ole Miss and still be a top 10 draft pick. I know this isn't going to happen, but theoretically thinking, if Darren Peterson said, you know what, this year at Kansas hasn't really gone that well, I actually want to be fully healthy by the time I enter the NBA draft, and I want to stay one more year at Kansas, he would still be a top three pick in the 2027 NBA draft. Still, Hunter, he could keep taking KU's money and still be looked at very favorably by the NBA. So I don't want to make it seem like if you are Dante Moore and you decide to stay in college, you now can't be a top pick in next year's NFL draft. You absolutely can. I think Arch Manning could be a second-round pick in this year's NFL draft. I'm 100% on Arch Manning's side. hey, instead of coming into the league, you still got a lot to learn. You don't have a lot of game reps. Stay in school. Continue to be a kid. Make great money doing it. Continue to get live reps. Like, the NFL is burning out these kids early on in their career. You don't got a lot. Anthony Richardson, you don't got a lot of experience. You were a first-round pick. Fans think you stink after a year and are ready to replace you. Anthony Richardson would be in a better situation if he had played more college football. Trinidad Chambliss has made 12 big-time. He was at a Division II school at Ferris State. He then transferred to Ole Miss. He was not Ole Miss's starter to begin the season. He has had a phenomenal year. And yes, I would still draft him. But yeah, my advice to a kid like him would be, man, stay in college. Keep getting these valuable. You're playing at the highest minor league level that you can play. This is the best. This is more competitive than a preseason game. You're getting invaluable reps against other kids that are also going to go to the NFL eventually. Keep getting the reps. Keep playing at a high level, and then eventually go to the NFL. That would be my advice that I would give you. Rob, now I don't know if I was wrong yesterday about Ole Miss, but I picked them to win. It was still a very close, entertaining game. Before we really dive deep into the game, we got our guy Joe DeLeon coming on the show in just a little bit. I want to ask you this. How do you handle pass interference at the end of the game? Because I'm a little bit torn. Now, I'm not here making excuses. I picked Ole Miss and they lost. I don't want anyone to take it that way. But at the end of the game, that's pass interference. If that happens at any other point in the game, they call pass interference on that play. But we want them calling pass interference at the end of the game on Hail Marys? Well, if that's the case, then every Hail Mary we've ever seen, pass interference happens. Everybody's down there jockeying for position. Everybody's grabbing and pulling and doing all those things. Then it'd be a flag on every single one. I was really struggling yesterday as I was watching the game. I didn't have any money on the game. I just was watching it. So I'm just, hey, Ole Miss won, lost. I don't care. No skin on my back. My team's been eliminated from this thing. I was sitting there watching. I'm thinking, on one side, we want the game to be called consistently. We want the game to be called fairly. I think this is pass interference at the end of the game. But I also don't think that at the end of a great game, we could sit there and see there was a penalty flag on the field. They then called pass interference on a Hail Mary, and then they give Ole Miss another chance to throw a Hail Mary. I feel very conflicted because I think the game ended correctly, even though I think a penalty happened on the final play of the game.
So here's how I feel about it. And I get torn on these plays, even the NFL too. We as a sports-watching society have kind of come to the following conclusion. We want the last play of the game in all sports officiated different. How often have Carrington, have you, or someone you're watching a basketball game with, said the following? Well, that's a foul, but you can't call it in that moment. You have to let the kids play. You know, it's got to be an egregious hack in the last 30 seconds for us to call a foul with the game on the line. You know, you can't call that in that moment. You got to let the kids play. That thought process, that energy that we have had as sports watching fans toward basketball carries over into football. It's absolutely pass interference, but the level at which we judge pass interference on a Hail Mary tip ball, you know, playing 500 on the end zone play, it's just different. Now, if you want to change it, like if we're saying, hey, we call the game the same in the first, second, third, fourth quarter, I'm with you. I'm all for it. I want that. But we as a society have just determined that there's a higher threshold in end of game moments, and the Hail Mary is the play where the threshold is the absolute highest because it's just heave it in the end zone. Everyone jumps around for it. Ball game over.
Text line 913-586-7965. This is a very interesting debate, I guess, on Chambliss. A lot of people are, you should take the money. I don't have the answer to this off the top of my head. Maybe you guys do. Is there the kid, because like I'm seeing right now, people are saying, well, yeah, you can take the 1 year of money from Ole Miss, but then if you get hurt, now you're a fourth round pick. Is there a quarterback? Is there a guy that we thought was a first round pick at quarterback that this happened to? Is there a player that was on the fence about what they should do as a prospect? They then went to school. I'm trying to think of who that player is. Like, there's not enough good quarterbacks. So, I mean, Michael Penix, for example, Michael Penix tore his ACL two separate times in college and still was a top pick in the NFL draft. Sam Bradford was hurt his entire last year at Oklahoma and still was a top pick. Like, I'm just trying to think of this example that people keep talking about the risk of injury. Yeah, my advice to Chambliss would be different if he was a running back. My advice to Chambliss would be different if he was a defensive lineman. But I'm trying to think of, is there a quarterback that you thought could be the 11th overall pick in the draft? That kid went back to school, and then the next year he was a 6th-round pick because he just was hurt. I can't think of who that player is off the top of my head. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. We're joined by my guy Joe DeLeon of the Ruffino and Joe Show. It is my favorite college football podcast. Let's talk about the games from last night. Joe, how's it going today, my man?
Oh, it's going great. Last night's game was a thriller, and couldn't be more excited to see what's going to happen with the Peach Bowl between Indiana and Oregon.
So let's talk about this, Joe, because I'm happy to kind of get your thoughts on this. We were just talking about the situation with Trinidad Chambliss. I understand people's – so Rob, my producer, you just talked to him. He thinks, hey, your time is up. I would agree when it comes to Chambliss, but – I also think that the courts have just ruled in players' favor the entire time. Diego Pavia probably shouldn't have played this year in college football, but he was allowed another year. I think that Chambliss is going to come back to Ole Miss. I think he should come back to Ole Miss. Where are you at?
I think that with this upcoming draft class, and separate from all the legal ramifications that are going to come into play here, it sounds like Tom Mars, who is representing him, it seems like that they are going to take this to the Mississippi State courts to see how much push they can get and get that extra year. I think with this quarterback class, though, he should consider going out. And it's not a matter of impacting his draft stock. He's just at the all-time high to capitalize on going in the first round. It's not so much – I was hearing you talk about a risk of injury. I feel like it's not so much a risk of injury, but there being a really large group of guys that – he could be competing with next year. Redden Sorsby and Josh Hoover are two players who entered into the portal and went to new destinations that are going to set themselves up for strong finishes to their careers, not to mention the fact that we've got Arch Manning and Dylan Raiola and DJ Lagway could end up being a riser. I just think this next year's class is going to be a lot bigger and has a lot more talent than what we're about to look at for 2026. If Dante Moore goes back to school, there's two guys. There's one guy that's a surefire number one overall pick in Fernando Mendoza. Ty Simpson declared, and he's iffy on where he fits. I think that Chambliss proved on the biggest stage that he's got a Russell Wilson type of a play style to the way that he plays the game, that he could be highly impactful in the league. And he's incredibly experienced. He's played a ton of football. I would go into the league. It's an opportunity to ride the momentum in your favor. Who knows what happens next year? What if all this juice just ends up dying off and they go 8-4 next season? That might not completely kill his draft stock, but there's a world where things are much more disappointing. They're not as much in the public view, and he ends up getting picked in the 3rd or 4th round.
Right now, we're talking to my guy Joe DeLeon of the Ruffino and Joe Show. It's my favorite college football podcast. Before we talk about the games as a whole, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. To me, there was a pass interference at the end of the game, but I also don't want them to call pass interference on Hail Mary plays, because if that was the case, then the game would never end. Everybody's jockeying for position. Everybody's pushing everybody. You could call pass interference on literally every Hail Mary play. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I got no money, no dog in the fight. The team that I bet on to win the national championship has already been eliminated in Georgia. I did feel very conflicted because I obviously want them to call the penalties that I see are on the field, and I want them to call the game consistently. But I also don't want them to call a penalty and give Ole Miss another chance at a Hail Mary at the end of the game. What did you make of the way the game ended?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's kind of like a jump ball in basketball or like trying to get a rebound on a final possession. It's always insanely frustrating and mind-numbing that when there's something called in a circumstance like that, because it feels like it's impacting the outcome of the game. Let it play out on the field. I personally didn't think it was egregious enough to believe that that was something that absolutely had to be called in that specific setting, as you talked about, where there's just ramped up physicality. The other part with this, too, I thought the officiating the entire game was terrible. So I don't want to, like, really hear Ole Miss fans trying to rationalize that, like, that was what cost them the game when there was a play earlier where you were handed an opportunity to score because of a phantom pass interference call. So the officiating wasn't good overall. I think that when we get really granular with it and we try to try to nitpick the decision-making on specific instances, it takes away from the actual outcome where two teams fought and one ended up winning.
Thinking back to that game, Joe, it really highlights to me how simple football can be. Now, it's a little bit different in college football than it is in the NFL. Miami is tougher than every team that they have played so far. They run the football extremely effective, and they got the necessary plays from Carson Beck in their passing game when they did. It's not a beautiful formula all the time, but when you get those three things to work, you can beat a lot of teams like Miami is right now, and they're the hottest team in the country.
And it's why in September, after that first month, I bought into Miami, and then I felt really silly, of course, after they struggled in the middle of the year. And I wish I stuck to my guns in saying that they'll get back, but I do not have that degree of foresight. But this was what went into my preview on Ruffino and Joe. I just felt like really confident in the fact that they were going to be able to win along the lines of scrimmage, and they were going to get a lot of push. There were so many drives running the football that not only was that O-line able to get 3 to 4 yards of drive before Fletcher was contacted, but there were a lot of instances where Fletcher and also Brown and even Beck were able to power through contact to pick up even more yards. I think a lot of people who watch that game and are willing to be honest with themselves recognize that Miami out-physicaled them, and they played like a B-minus version of their game. And I think that goes to show how much stronger and more physical they are than their opponents through this stretch, that if they played 100% and they eliminated some of those shaky issues with penalties, poor time penalties that derailed drives, and if they at least caught one of those interceptions, one of the four bad throws from Chambliss, they win that game by at least 10 points. It's a very, very different story. That is what you just said here. Football is a very simple game sometimes, and I always, whenever I'm wrong for a stretch, I always come back to that, all right, I just need to pick the team that's got the edge on both sides of the ball, or at least one of them with a significant edge, because even when Miami played poorly, they were able to revert back to that physicality, the line of scrimmage, and to find a way to win by surviving through that.
Right now, we're talking to Joe DeLeon of the Ruffino and Joe Show. Grab it wherever you get your podcast from. It's my favorite college football podcast. Joe, who do you have tonight? We have Indiana. We have Oregon. This is a rematch from a game earlier in the season. And at least for me, this is when I started taking Indiana very seriously. I thought Indiana made the playoff last year because their schedule was good. We ended up being wrong about that when it came to Indiana. And then this year, I was just kind of waiting for them to play one of those marquee teams. They went on the road. They beat Oregon, and that put them on my radar. And I think a lot of other people were like, hey, maybe I was kind of wrong about this program. They play again tonight. Who do you like?
I've been grappling with this for the entire week, and I've kind of noticed myself seesawing back and forth. I can't stay consistent, but I'm going with Oregon. And I think that it comes down to, I really love both these teams, by the way. I think that Indiana has every right to win this, and I don't think it's like a no-brainer pick. But I think that these teams are a lot closer than many are willing to recognize. It feels like a general foregone conclusion from the public college football fans that they just think, oh, Indiana's looked so dominant. They beat Ohio State. They finished the year so strong. The way that they looked against Alabama was just so explosive. We got to go with Indiana. I think that Oregon has played not their cleanest football, and I think they've got a better version of themselves in there somewhere. They had a messy day against Texas Tech, and they were still able to prevail because of a couple of key plays. I think ultimately what this comes down to, if they keep going, and it hurt them the last time that they played Indiana, it problem for them offensively against Texas Tech. If they can get their run game going, that to me is what will help them win a close game. But it's going to be very narrow. I foresee that this game is going to come down to one final key play, and we could be amazed by either Dante Moore making that play or Fernando Mendoza.
That is our guy, Joe DeLeon of the Ruffino and Joe Show, joining us on the show today, getting you ready for an exciting college football game coming up later today. Joe, man, we'll do this as we get closer to the national championship, man. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, of course. Great catching up. Talk to you later, Captain.
Absolutely. That is Joe DeLeon of the Ruffino and Joe Show. Grab it wherever you get your college football podcast from. Coming up on the other side, Rob, this is what I would like to do. Let's go through the first NFL playoff game this weekend. I'll give a touchdown prop that I like. You give one that you like as well. Maybe there's another player prop that you would like to throw into the mix at all. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. I've got a question to ask you guys about the future of their offensive line. We'll get to all of that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to talk about the Chiefs' offensive line, and I've got a question to pose to you guys as we are heading into the offseason. So, Rob, let's do this. Why don't we kind of, in individual segments, kind of go through each of the playoff games that we have coming up? There's a reason why we are doing this one first, not just because it's first. I would say it is also probably the least interesting playoff game that we have coming up this weekend. The Rams are going on the road to Carolina. Now, I wouldn't even really be checking for this game, to be completely frank with you guys, but given the fact that Carolina beat the Rams 6 weeks ago, that seems pretty noteworthy and something that we need to be talking about. Now, I think the Rams are in a different place. They're getting back Devontae Adams, certainly a lot to kind of be hopeful about when it comes to the Rams. I also just think they're a much better team than Carolina, but we can't discredit the fact that we have seen those 8-8, 8-9 teams, we've seen those teams make incredible upset wild card weekend type runs before, and Carolina would just be the latest with Seattle a couple of years ago, also the Broncos, who won in that wild card round against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Tebow playoff game. Carolina is a 10.5-point favorite. Are you trusting Carolina to keep the game close this week, or do you think the Rams are going in there with the belt?
I actually really like the Panthers plus 10.5. Like, really like it. I think that's A, I know that they're sub 500 and probably don't deserve to be in the playoffs, and they definitely don't deserve to have a home playoff game. I will fight the good fight till the end of time. The NFL should go into should not be seeding based on divisions, but I digress. The Panthers beat the Rams, and they did it because their defense largely made life hard on the Rams a few weeks ago. The Rams guard is not going to be there, which means Derrick Brown, who, if you're not listening at home and you're thinking, who's Derrick Brown, Rob? He is a really good defensive tackle. I don't want to call him Chris Jones. He's not Chris Jones, Jalen Carter level, but he's the next notch down for the Carolina Panthers, has a chance to really eat against a backup interior offensive lineman. And I always feel like the early game for a West Coast team is always a tough spot to be in. Now, it's not early like noon, but it's still a little early on the body clock. So if I'm getting two scores plus 10.5 points, I think you have to take the Panthers. I don't like them outright. I do think the Rams win. But I think it's the game in the fourth quarter. People are furiously typing on social media, maybe the Panthers deserve to be in an 8-9 because they're giving the Rams a real fight toward the end of this game.
Now, I think a major part of this, of why the Rams lost the first matchup, is the Rams were -3 in the turnover differential. And I don't care who you are. If you go on the road and you're -3 in the turnover differential, you are going to lose. Carolina just dominated the game because of that. Carolina was 7-15 on third downs, so they stayed on the field. They won the turnover differential, and they controlled time of possession. They also had a defensive and a special teams touchdown the last time that these two teams played each other. So almost everything went right for Carolina the first time that these two teams played each other. I mean, these two teams played each other the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend, so it wasn't really that long ago that these two teams played up against each other. I think the Rams are clearly the better team out of these two. I think the Rams are a legitimate Super Bowl contending team. I'm going to take the Rams to win this matchup. If I had to give you one touchdown that I do like for the game, give me Puka Nacua right now at -110. Feels like the best odds here. There probably isn't a touchdown bet that I really love, honestly, for this matchup. I don't really like paying the juice when it comes to touchdowns. But if you're going to give me Puka Nacua, and let's say I compare that with the Rams money line to get it to plus money, that feels like a good bet. I'll take that.
I mean, if you're asking me for a touchdown bet, again, I don't think the Panthers are going to win, but I think they're going to keep this close. Tet McMillan at +180 is the play. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think the Panthers are getting shut out tomorrow. So
for sure.
Like,
I mean,
if
you're
they
right.
Score, Tet McMillan is probably the guy. So I get plus money.
The only value, if you're taking a touchdown bet to me, is you either need to parlay it with a win for the Rams because the guys are plus money, or what you're talking about. You just got to take somebody on Carolina. You just got to hope that Carolina can score 17 points and that you end up getting the right touchdown bet if that's the case. You end up taking a Rico Dowdle. You end up taking a rushing touchdown, or what you're talking about, the number one receiver, Tet McMillan, finds the end zone. That's the best value for this matchup.
This is the worst game of the weekend, though.
Like, yeah,
this,
no question.
This is a game where if you are a college sports fan, watch some basketball. They may have gotten to do something with the wife and the kids.
I'm gonna have it on.
It's not TV One. I don't know what your TV One versus Two setup is. I know it's high versus low at your house, and my house is TV One versus TV Two. This game is not TV One at 3:30 on Saturday. It's just not. I know KU will have played, so they're not. It's not like a problem there. But I have a hard time being like, man, I'm locking in Rams and Panthers. Here we go. That's a lot of a dedication for me.
I would never, ever disrespect this next person that we're about to talk about. I have all the respect in the world for this individual. It is very rarely that you can say that someone is the best at their profession. Al Michaels is the best play-by-play voice in the history of sports broadcasting. He is the best. He called the Miracle on Ice. He has been doing this for 40 years. He might not be your favorite, and that's perfectly fine. You're allowed to have favorites. But if you were going through who's been the best at this, who's shown you versatility to do it in other things, who's done it with multiple, Al Michaels is the best play-by-play voice in the history of sports. Al, it's time. Al said he wants to come back and do another year of Thursday Night Football. Al's going to be 82 years old. Al, stop.
And the kick is just inside the left upright. And there's a little celebrating going on in Charlotte, North Carolina.
That was the call for a game-winning field goal. Yes, I know. It sounds like I just randomly clipped something from the second quarter of a game. No, that was a game-winning field goal in which the team made a dramatic fourth quarter comeback, and that's the energy that Al is giving you. Al, big dog, we love you. Who doesn't like Al Michaels? Al, it's over. Amazon's paid you enough. NBC's paid you enough. Go enjoy the rest of your days. Is Al married? Does Al have grandkids? Al, come on now. You don't got to spend any more Thursdays in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spend those Thursdays at home. Spend them with your family. Spend it with your loved ones. You got to make way for some new blood. Thursday night football should be Greg Olsen and fill in the blank up-and-coming play-by-play broadcaster. Everything about Amazon is new and fresh. I love what they're doing with the NBA. I love the format of it. I love the guests. I love what Amazon is bringing. They're bringing a freshness to the game, a newness to the game. We got Al Michaels on the Thursday night calls. Al Michaels is going to be calling tomorrow's Bears and Packers game. Come on, Al. I don't want Al calling these games anymore. I want Al to step down and make way for one of the young guns.
Here's the thing. I'm all for respecting the legends, and I'm all for, hey, if you're a Hall of Famer, the best to ever do it, you should have the opportunity to go out on your own terms. I respect all those things. How has no one at Amazon encouraged Al that this was the year to go out? We do not need another year of him. And by the way, the Thursday games, they were better this year, but they still are largely just bad. We don't need another year of Vikings-Bears where Al can't get the juice going. And Al's like, yeah, J.J. McCarthy, 7-yard completion. And you're like, that's a first down at the end of the game, Al. Give a little oomph. It seems like Al doesn't want to retire from the job, and I respect that. But someone in either Al's circle or the Amazon circle or somewhere needs to say, Al, it's time to hang it up. It's time to walk away. I know you want to write your own ticket, but I'm sorry. It's time. It has to be time. He was bad this year. And I don't think at 82 he's going to get better. He's not a fine wine. He's not aging well.
It's just over. And a lot of people on the text are like, oh, what do you want him to do? No, I want his call to be appropriate to what it is.
And it used to be really good. Listen to Miracle on Ice. It is as good as any call ever. He wasn't screaming and shouting or, you know, just making noise for the sake of making noise. He was great. He's not great anymore.
Everybody doesn't need to be Gus Johnson. Everybody doesn't need to be Gus Johnson. This is a game-winning. A team went down the field, got in field goal range, and kicked a field goal. Your call is setting the tone of what you are watching. This isn't good enough.
And the kick is just inside the left upright. And there's a little celebrating going on in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's not good. It's not good. It's bad. Al, we love you. I'm serious. I love you. I really do love you. And I get it. Not everybody has to be Gus Johnson. I don't want everybody to be Gus Johnson. But you guys can't tell me how much you love Kevin Harlan and also think that's good. You cannot. Kevin Harlan's the best at it. Great legend. Kevin's still doing it at an incredibly high. Kevin Harlan's call would have been infinitely better than that one. Al, it's time. You're 82. Nobody's expecting you to still have the fastball when you're 82 years old. Nobody is still really good at their job at 82 years old. You can't be. It's not the way it works. Coming up at the top of the hour, I got a question to ask you guys about the Chiefs offensive line and where we're at heading into the offseason. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.